Kings yet born of Mary, as a bull on earth he stood. Lord of lords in human vesture, in the body and the blood, he will give to all the faithful his own self for heaven.
Let's all stand together and sing the last two verses. All together.
Rank on rank the host of heaven, spread his thank God on the way. As the light of life descended from the realms of endless day, that the power of heaven and the darkness clears away. At his feet the six weeping seraphs, cherubim with sleepless eyes, veil their faces to the presence, as with ceaseless voice they cry, Alleluia, Alleluia, Lord Most High.
Amen. You may be seated. As the children come up, I want to welcome you and thank you, you all. And we're going to just move straight through the service. So follow along in your programs. And God bless you and welcome tonight.
I'll be reading Isaiah 8:21 through 9:7. They will pass through the land, greatly distressed and hungry. And when they are hungry, they will be enraged and will speak contemptuously against their king and their God and turn their faces upward. They will look to the earth, but behold, distress and darkness, the gloom of anguish, and they will be thrust into thick darkness. But there will be no gloom for her who was in anguish. In the former time, he brought into contempt the land of Zebulun and the land of Naphtali. But in the latter time, he was made glorious the way of the sea and the land beyond the Jordan, Galilee of the nations. The people who walked in darkness have seen a great light. Those who dwelt in a land of deep darkness, on them has light shone. You have multiplied the nation. You have increased its joy. They rejoice before you as with joy at the harvest, as they are glad when they divide the spoil. For the yoke of his burden and the staff for his shoulder, the rod of his oppressor, you have broken as on the day of Midian. For every boot of the tramping warrior in battle tumult and every garment rolled in blood will be burned as fuel for the fire. For to us a child is born, to us a son is given, and the government shall be upon his shoulder, and his name shall be called Wonderful Counselor, Mighty God, Everlasting Father, Prince of Peace. Of the increase of his government and of the peace there will be no end. On the throne of David and over his kingdom, to establish it and to uphold it with justice and with righteousness from this time forth and forevermore. The zeal of the Lord of hosts will do this. Sing together.
O come, Emmanuel, and ransom captive Israel, that mourns in lonely exile here, until the Son of God appear. Rejoice, rejoice. Satan's tyranny, from depths of hell thy people save, and give them victory o'er the grave. Rejoice, rejoice, Emmanuel shall come to thee, O and cheer us by thy drawing nigh. Dispense the gloomy clouds of night, and death dark shadows put to flight. Rejoice, rejoice, Emmanuel.
make safe the way that leads on high, and close the path to misery. Rejoice, rejoice, Emmanuel shall come to thee, O
Our second reading from God's Word tonight is from the Gospel of Luke, chapter 2, verses 1 through 20. In those days a decree went out from Caesar Augustus that all the world should be registered. This was the first registration when Quirinius was governor of Syria. And all went to be registered, each to his own town. And Joseph also went up from Galilee, from the town of Nazareth to Judea, to the city of David, which is called Bethlehem, because he was of the house and the lineage of David, to be registered with Mary, his betrothed, who was with child. And while they were there, the time came for her to give birth. And she gave birth to her firstborn son, and wrapped him in swaddling clothes, and laid him in a manger, because there was no place for them in the inn. And in the same region there were shepherds out in the field, keeping watch over their flock by night. And an angel of the Lord appeared to them, and the glory of the Lord shone around them, and they were filled with great fear. And the angel said to them, "Fear not, for behold, I bring you good news of great joy that will be for all the people. For unto you is born this day in the city of David a Savior, who is Christ the Lord. And this will be a sign for you. You will find a baby wrapped in swaddling clothes and lying in a manger." And suddenly there was with the angel a multitude of the heavenly host, praising God and saying, "Glory to God in the highest, and on earth peace among those with whom he is pleased." When the angels went away from them into heaven, the shepherds said to one another, "Let us go over to Bethlehem and see this thing that has happened, which the Lord has made known to us." And they went with haste, and they found Mary and Joseph and the baby lying in a manger. And when they saw it, they made known the saying that had been told to them concerning this child. And all who heard it wondered at what the shepherds had told them. But Mary treasured up all of these things, pondering them in her heart. And the shepherds returned, glorifying and praising God for all that they had heard and seen as it had been told them.
secret compartment. The night is cold as ice. The stars stand at attention, waiting, holding their breath, motionless in the moonless sky. Moisture escapes the mouths of shepherds, forming small clouds, rising quickly, ascending upward from the cold earth. Wooden staves, like cold metal in the hand, stand in watch over the rising stench of sheep. All is calm. All is night. The sound of the shepherd's breathing is lost in the dull and lonely landscape. And then, a light, brighter than the sun, descends and hovers mid-air above the ground and declares, "Peace, do not fear." The radiating warmth and joy of this celestial being begins to melt the knee-jerk fear and slow the beating heart. But only just before it declares his message, "Unto you a child is born, unto you a son is given." Fear and beating heart return. In David's city you will find him. Mystery and wonder fill the shepherds' minds. They look at one another with eyes that ask, "Did he just say lying in a manger?" But the question is forgotten immediately as every anxiously awaiting star begins a great race, speeding from the heavens to join the bright one, forcing the shepherds to the ground. As that bright army comes closer, they increase in speed and in heat, and by now it is quite warm. The host is blinding. In a puddle of water on the ground, the shepherds see the reflection on hands and knees. The sky is full of luminosity. The firmament has come alive. All heaven has broken loose. But the light isn't the only sensation, nor is the heat, nor the rushing wind from the beating wings. The song, the singing. The singing is beyond anything ever heard before. The song seems to fill the air beyond its natural capacity for sound. For a brief moment, the sky has no ceiling, and the lords and ladies of the heavens join in giving glory to God in the highest. Terrifying glory explodes in harmonic beauty, and real pre-earthly joy erupts with resplendent wonder. Feeling hopelessly inadequate, incapable of receiving such unmediated glory, the shepherds lie still, fully immersed in the glory of the angels' song. As the heavenly host completes their melody, or perhaps leave to continue their singing elsewhere, as the stars return to their stations in the heavens, the night once again fills the sky. The shepherds remain for a moment, stupefied, unable to move. Did that really just happen? Who will believe us? Slowly they rise, sharing dumbfounded looks and unfathomable wonder. And then, as if urged by an invisible hand, as if their feet had been given the wings of wind, they sprint for Bethlehem, leaving their utterly forgotten sheep behind in the night. It is hard to run and belly laugh and weep at the same time, but they must have managed somehow. Once in Bethlehem, they run from door to door in their excitement, forgetting that they are looking for a manger. They try the local governor first. Surely, if the King of all kings has been born, he will have royal parents, right? But no, the governor's door is cold and no one answers. What about the landowner, they ask? Christ the Lord will certainly be rich. But the landowner too is away, and no one hears the deep pounding of their fists upon the door. Where is everyone, they ask? The census, of course. Everyone would be traveling to their hometown. Maybe we should try the local inn. Maybe they're not from around here. Searching all over the small town, they finally come to the inn. With a capacity house, the innkeeper is too busy to answer their questions. But a servant boy hears them and points to a cave behind the inn where they keep all the animals. The shepherds, panting and out of breath, draw near, hearing the cries of a newborn child coming from the mouth of the cave. There they meet Joseph and his betrothed, Mary. Between them is a small, helpless child, weak and crying to be fed, wrapped in swaddling clothes and lying in a manger. The shepherds, Luke says, when they saw Jesus, made known the saying that had been told them concerning this child. They told Mary and Joseph and the others standing with them, perhaps Mary's cousin Elizabeth and her husband Zechariah and their new infant born John. They told them all about what the angels had said, the good news of great joy that would be for all people. And that good news, that gospel message was this, that on that day, a Savior had been born in the city of David, a child who would be the Messiah, the Anointed One, Christ the Lord. They attempted to convey the mystery and the wonder of hearing that angelic choir, of watching the host of heaven descend upon them in a rush of wind and song. But words fell short. Through tears they spoke of the peace that had been proclaimed, and in awe they looked upon the child now asleep. How could these things be? And yet they had seen the angels. They had found the child. Joseph, I'm sure, explained to them the dream that he had received, explained that this child's name was Jesus. Jesus. Yeshua, of course. The child's very name means Yahweh saves. It's as if every psalm they had sung in the synagogue was now coming to life that night. Mary then tells them of the angel that had visited her, that this child was not the son of Joseph, as they might have supposed, but that the Holy Spirit had conceived this child within her by the power of the Most High. Therefore, this child was the Son of God. At this, the angels, the shepherds, lost all breath. Remember now that 4 centuries had passed, and no one had heard from the Lord. There had been no prophets, no appearances, no divine inspirations. To us, it would be like looking back to the settling of Jamestown, the early years of the 17th century. Imagine a whole nation forged over 1,500 years by encounter after encounter with the Most High. For nearly 1,000 of those years, God had dwelt in their midst, enshrouded in a cloud of glory and flame. It had been 400 years since the slightest thing had happened, anything that made them the people that who they were as God's people. But now, after such a long silence, God himself had appeared again. God himself had descended and begun to dwell once more in the midst of his people. But how could it be? In this infant child, in this weak, poor, feeble infant child, so utterly dependent on Mary for everything. Jesus, the one who holds all things together by the power of his word, was now held by the hands that he had made, nourished by the young woman to whom he had given life. And here we see the true center of the Christmas message, the humility of God that overcomes every show of human strength and striving, the foolishness of God that overcomes all wisdom and understanding of men, the divine weakness that breaks the chains of sin and death. The Apostle John in 1 John 4 says this, "In this the love of God was made manifest among us, that God sent his only Son into the world, so that we might live through him. In this is love, not that we have loved God, but that he loved us and sent his Son to be the propitiation for our sins." There is not one of us here tonight that deserves heaven. There is not one of us who has done enough good things to please God. All of us deserve hell. All of us have fallen short of the glory of God. Furthermore, there is not one of us here tonight that wants to be saved. Not one of us want to love God. We were all perfectly satisfied doing things in our own strength, being the captains of our own ships, being the masters of our own fate. The problem is, when our hands are on the wheel, we can only drive in one direction, and that is into the mouth of death itself. There is not one of us here tonight that deserves heaven. All of us were beyond saving. Indeed, there was nothing left in us worth saving at all. But God was not made manifest among us in order to start a remodel project. He did not come to us to meet us halfway or to simply modify the attempts that we have made to make ourselves decent people. All human striving is worthless when it is the very fact of human striving that needs to die. No, when God came into this world, the way light pours into a pitch black room, He came to make all things new. He came to bring life and to bring it in abundance. He came to not to remodel, but to start fresh. But how was this to be accomplished? By Jesus being born a small, weak, and helpless human child. We are all human beings. And as human beings, we all live under the curse and death that human beings deserve. We have all fallen short of the glory of God. And because of our disobedience, we all must pay the penalty. We have broken a window and we must make restitution. However, the only restitution we can make for the seriousness of our crime is death, which is the final solution and leaves no hope for us at all. But here is the beauty in the bleakness. The Christmas story is one that begins tonight and does not end until Easter. It is one story. Jesus was born into this world in order that he might grow into a man and die on a cross outside of Jerusalem. When Jesus was born, he was born a human child. God and man came together in Jesus. And as God, he was born perfect, without sin, without a rebellious heart. He was born free of the curse and death all other humans deserve. And so as man, he could pay for man's curse, as only man could pay for it. And as God, he could pay for the sins of the whole world, as only God could do. And so we see the love of God made manifest in Jesus. Not that we loved God, or that he waited for us to seek him out, but that God loved us while we were still enemies, and sent his Son to be the propitiation for our sins. Jesus was born so that he might die, so that he might become our salvation. Christmas is the first step toward Calvary. Christmas places the first burden on Jesus' back that would later take shape as a wooden cross. But it did not end there. As I said a moment ago, the Christmas story ends with Easter. It ends with victory and life. The miracle of the incarnation, of God being born in human flesh, is followed by the miracle of the resurrection, the empty tomb, and the glorified Lord. This is why John can say that we live through Jesus. Through faith, we die with Jesus on the cross, putting to death the old man in us that hates God and strives for independence and self-sufficiency. In Jesus, that man dies before the old man can drive us irretrievably off the cliff. And through faith, we too are raised to new life. Through faith, our own graves stand empty as well. What then is faith? It is the simple cry that says, God, help me, sinner that I am. Faith is the small but momentous act of looking outside of yourself, of giving up trying to work yourself into the graces of God. Faith looks to Jesus and sees that he is enough. This is the very center of our lives as Christians. It is the very hope that our Merry Christmases communicate. This is the one story that we sing of. Come, thou long expected Jesus, born to set thy people free. From our fears and sins release us. Let us find our rest in thee. Israel's strength and consolation, hope of all the earth thou art. Veiled in flesh the Godhead see. Hail, the incarnate deity. Pleased as man with men to dwell, Jesus, our Emmanuel. Now ye hear of endless bliss, joy, joy. Jesus Christ was born for this. He hath opened heaven's door, and man is blessed forevermore. Christ was born for this. No more let sin and sorrow grow, nor thorns infest the ground. He comes to make his blessings flow, far as the curse is found. He rules the world with truth and grace, and makes the nations prove the glories of his righteousness and wonders of his love. Born thy people to deliver, born a child and yet a king, born to reign in us forever, now thy gracious kingdom bring. By thine own eternal spirit, rule in all our hearts alone, by thine all-sufficient merit, raise us to thy glorious throne. Good news requires good song. And as we sing, as we throw back our heads and raise our voices to heaven, we invite that angelic choir, once heard by those shepherds, to join in our praising. As they join their voices to ours, we should realize that all of creation has been singing since that cold night so long ago. We are the latecomers. We are the ones bringing our small and humble voices to creation's caroling. We join the heavenly governors and lift our hands and praise the child laying in the manger. For his name is Jesus, and he was born to save his people from all their sins. Let's pray. Father, we thank you for your grace, for your mercy, for the truths and rich blessings of Christmas. Father, may these words, may the words of the hymns that we sing, may the words that we read around our dinner tables and around the Christmas tree, may they work into us and work out of us and form us and shape us. Lord, may we see the hope that is ours in Christ. Bless us, we pray, in Jesus' name. Amen. We have heard on high.
Angels we have heard on high, sweetly singing o'er the plains, and the mountains in reply echo back their joyous strains. Gloria in excelsis Deo. Shepherds, why this jubilee? Why your joyous strains prolong? Say, what may the tidings be which inspired this heavenly song?
Night of the dear Savior's birth. And that in him we all through faith have newness of life. Father, as we come and as we gather with our families and our friends this Christmas, may it be your Son who is at the center of all of our thoughts and all of our prayers and all of our gatherings. We praise you, Father, and we thank you, and we love you because you have first loved us. Be with us now as we go, and be with each family as they meet and as they celebrate the birth of your Son and the greatest gift that you could ever possibly give, life in him. We thank you and we love you in Jesus' name tonight. Amen. Amen. Merry Christmas, everybody, and go in peace.